CBS News, I'm Nick Young. The second Oklahoma City bombing trial is underway in Denver. Newsman Lee Frank reports on the first day of jury selection in the case against Terry Nichols. We'll have that report from Lee Frank coming up momentarily.
Defense attorney Michael Tiger expressed concern about one of the first two jury pool members interviewed in open court. Nichols' lawyer told Judge Richard Mace that he believes there's cause to challenge the qualifications of the unidentified prospective juror. Another person from the jury pool has been dismissed because she has back problems. It's likely to take many weeks to seat a jury for this second Oklahoma City bombing trial. For Timothy McVeigh's trial, it took 3.5 weeks to interview 99 prospects before 12 jurors and 6 alternates were selected. Lee Frank, CBS News, Denver.
The Secretary of State Madeleine Albright has announced that Israeli and Palestinian leaders will resume talking. CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson says Albright is trying not to overplay the agreement.
She pronounced it a small step at one point, a medium step at another point, and she said that by having the talks here in New York over the last few days, that they had arrested the downward spiral that the Mideast peace negotiations had been in, and she said now they were trying to move forward, and she thought it was a success in that they had announced the startup of talks the week of October 6th in Israel, and then the following week, more talks in Washington.
The White House has shot back at Newt Gingrich, telling the House Speaker it doesn't need any ethics lectures from him. Gingrich charges the Clinton re-election campaign is, to quote him, the most illegal and illegitimate ever. The president countered,
the remarks this weekend were an attempt to divert the public attention from the fact that the leadership of the Republican Party in the House opposes campaign finance reform.
Well, the White House wants nothing to do with the GOP-backed proposal to put the Internal Revenue Service under a private citizen oversight board. One of President Clinton's top economic advisors, Gene Sperling, says despite the IRS abuses detailed at a Senate hearing last week, the Republican plan is the wrong way to go.
It is a recipe for conflicts of interest, and the notion that the right way to deal with these problems with the IRS is to decrease accountability would be a serious step backwards.
The administration favors an oversight, a board made up of executive branch officials. President Clinton says a new Census Bureau report vindicates his economic policies. That report shows incomes on the rise with poverty declining. Mr. Clinton says it proves the middle class is, to quote him, no longer forgotten. On Wall Street, a good start to the week. The Dow up more than 69 points to close at 79.91. This is CBS News.
In 1906, as the women of America made a commitment to do the same work as men, CNA made a commitment to the women of America by being one of the first to insure them for accidents and illnesses. CNA understands that any commitment carries with it a certain degree of risk. So for over a century, they've been committed to helping people manage their risks, be they ordinary or extraordinary. CNA, for all the commitments you make.
I was a big Nestle Quick fan until last year. That's when I tried rich chocolate Ovaltine. Believe me, it didn't take long to switch from Quick. Ovaltine has an amazing chocolate taste, and it's loaded with vitamins and minerals, and no fat. So why not drink something that tastes great and is good for you? Hey, I'm not a kid anymore, but when I want something cold and chocolatey, I feel like an Ovaltine.
I feel like an Ovaltine.
Hey, it's me, your brain. You know, you really ought to visit once in a while. It's amazing what you've got stashed away up here. Like this file on Oki Data Printers. You know Oki Data. They've been making printers for 24 years with over 9 million sold. And you act like you never heard of Oki Data. Do I have to remind you about everything? Oh, by the way, that report is due next week. And don't forget lunch with James at 12:30. And your dry cleaning's ready this afternoon. And your name is spelled with one or not.
To learn more about Oki Data, call 1-800-OKI-TEAM.
WCCO Radio News, good afternoon. I'm Jeff McKinney. The time is 4:04. We have cloudy skies, 60 degrees out there. We also have Mike Lynch. He's at the Weather Center. He'll have the full five-day forecast coming up for us right after the news. Authorities are making known for the first time today the shutdown of a virtual casino in South Minneapolis. The man who ran a gambling house at 4640 Oakland Avenue South, 67-year-old Ralph Bistedo, has pled guilty to 3 felony and 2 gross misdemeanor counts. Minneapolis Police Spokesman Officer John Sullivan says the house was a virtual casino.
They found three fully functional slot machines, two official blackjack tables. They also found over 500 what are known as, commonly known as tip boards that are, that are used for such things as football gaming with numbers or pull-off strips with numbers on them.
In addition to the Minneapolis Police Department, other agencies involved in the bust include the State Department of Revenue, the State Gambling Enforcement Division, and the Eden Prairie Police Department. The investigation into the South Minneapolis gambling house began about a year ago. It's time to think about getting a flu shot, according to Diane Peterson of the Minnesota Department of Health. The flu season normally starts by late November, but it takes a couple of weeks for the vaccine to work. Peterson says it's hard to tell what kind of flu we'll be fighting this winter.
It's always difficult to know exactly which flu virus will appear. The vaccine actually has three different viruses in it, and that's based on what we've seen in previous years. So hopefully the match will be close.
People 65 and older are encouraged to get the shot, along with residents of nursing homes and people with chronic disorders, but health officials say it's a good idea for most people. Minnesota Timberwolves guard Terry Porter will help unveil two newly refurbished basketball courts in the East Phillips neighborhood today. Team spokesman Charlie Frank says the Wolves donated $10,000 to the project that fixed up one court and turned a tennis court into another basketball court.
And the tennis court that was turned into a basketball court is a regulation-sized court. It also has a Timberwolves logo in the jump circle, and brand new backboards, brand new rims, brand new benches along the side of the court. This is on the corner of Cedar and 24th in Minneapolis, and they just look terrific.
Frank says the Wolves will fix up at least one court a year in Minneapolis and St. Paul and hope to start up an informal summer basketball league for kids who play at the courts. And the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, is taking the lead role in contract talks with Kevin Garnett. That after Garnett turned down a six-year deal worth more than $103 million. This means Wolves Vice President Kevin McHale and General Manager Flip Saunders will stay on the sidelines. Taylor was expected to meet today with Garnett's agent. The Wolves have until midnight tomorrow to sign Garnett, which would keep him off the free agent market until the 1997-98 season. Otherwise, they would have to wait until July 1st to resume negotiations with the 21-year-old forward. CCO News Time is 4:07 and a half. Next up, we check out the freeways and the weather.
So I'm camping the other night, and I glanced up at the sky and noticed the northern lights. While I'm checking it out, I almost choked on my second bratwurst, because the cool green and purple colors started looking like a snowmobile, an Arctic Cat snowmobile. But before I could tell if it was really happening or I just got too much deep for my bug spray, it started to disappear. So I'm yelling, wait, wait, come back, what's the deal?
Funny how something so incredible can be so fleeting, like the Arctic Blast sales event. Right now, when you buy a new Arctic Cat, you can get $300 in Cat cash, good toward Arctic wear apparel and accessories, or finance through Arctic Cat credit and get zero down in low monthly payments. But hurry, deals this great are gone before you know it.
Come on, show me a clutch, a belly pan! Whoa, that was so cool.
It's the Arctic Blast celebration. Don't miss it. Call 1-800-3-ARCTIC for a dealer nearest you. Offer good through September 30th at participating authorized U.S. Arctic Cat dealers while supplies last. Available on new 98 Arctic Cat snowmobiles, excluding Kitty Cat. Financing subject to credit approval.
We decided it's time to give this old house a facelift. I'm not a professional, but I am doing some work myself. However, there is one job I'm saving for the professionals, my windows and siding. I know how important energy-efficient windows and siding are, and I want it done right. So I gave Hoyt Home Improvement a call. I wouldn't think of having anyone else. Hoyt Home Improvement has been keeping old homes in my neighborhood warm for a lot of years, so I'm having Hoyt Home Improvement install my custom windows and maintenance-free siding. Hoyt has a great selection of colors and options to choose from. And let one of their experts tell you about obtaining 100% financing and debt consolidation with no closing costs. Visit Hoyt Home Improvement at the Fall Home and Garden Show, October 3rd through the 5th, at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And register to win one of many home improvements, compliments of Hoyt Home Improvement. Or call for a personal free in-home estimate and register to win by mentioning this ad. No purchase necessary. Call Hoyt at 703-2222. Hoyt Home Improvement, the right tool for the job. That's 703-2222.
CCO News Time is coming up on 410. Time to check out the freeways. Here's Dean Spratt.
Well, pretty good levels of traffic as you work your way around the system. Still 280 northbound at Broadway. That is an accident with injuries. State Patrol is going to be dealing with that one. Also, still pretty good levels of traffic as you work your way around the rest of the system. 94 eastbound around Snelling, an accident in the clearing stages. It is heavy yet. 35 E's to make your way north out of downtown St. Paul. That is CCO traffic.
And Mike Lutz here in the CCO Weather Center. Light showers now, 58 degrees in the Twin Cities. And we got a bit of a polar plunge on the CCO weather map. The air is unstable and it's windy, and it's going to stay windy this evening. But the showers are going to taper off already. The heavier showers moving out of the Twin Cities on into western Wisconsin and extreme southeastern Minnesota. Later on tonight, some slow clearing from north to south across the state. Overnight lows in the Twin Cities around 50 degrees. Could be the 40s in the outer suburbs. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy, not nearly as windy, should be dry tomorrow, a high of about 67 degrees, northwest winds at 10 to 20. Warmer on Wednesday and Thursday, partly cloudy skies, highs in the low to mid 70s. On Friday, a chance of some showers, highs in the low to mid 70s, and it looks like dry on Saturday, upper 60s for highs. Right now, northwest winds at 9, humidity 80%, some showers in the area, 58 degrees on Cannon.
It is part two, the Cannon Miss. At 11 now, past 4 o'clock, Jumpin' Joe Junkus working the board. Mike Lunch with the weather, Dean Spratt doing the traffic. Sidney Hartman will be in here with the sports shortly. And me, the Iron Man from the Iron Range. You know what, Mike Lunch? I think I'm making a comeback, Lunch.
You're making a comeback, you say?
Yeah, you know where I was the Iron Wuss there for a while?
Yes?
Starting to feel stronger the last week or two.
Really?
Starting to get back into my old mode of being cranky and mean.
Oh, good.
And the Iron Man is still the Iron Wuss. You know how soft and easy I've been the last year or
been
so.
Kind of, Alan Aldish,
That's the worst thing you can say to me, you know that?
I know that, but now you're going to be rude, bombastic, and arrogant again.
Yes,
good.
Didn't somebody write that in the 60-year book that we sold to people of 60 years of WCCO?
And that was the nice things they said.
That's right. Oh, man.
Yes. Old Boone and Erickson, nice flowery little descriptions. You, rude, bombastic, and arrogant.
Roger Whippler from Roseville says, can you answer this question? If you had a vanity license plate, what would it say? I got the money. What else, right, Mung? Lunch?
You'd have to shorten that up a bit, but yeah, something like that.
Got the money.
Got the, you know, with the dollar sign, maybe.
Is that too much, too? No, got, well, let's see.
Put it.
How many letters do they give you on those vanity plates?
I think it's 6.
Got the money. It's too many. Well, I know what you could do. Would they put a dollar sign on there? Got
right.
The dollar sign?
Exactly. Mm. Now you're still one too many.
Yeah.
But you could shorten it up.
Okay. I had some other things I wanted to mention to you here, too, Lunch, while I've got you here. But
yes.
Give me the forecast again. I got to write it down.
All right. We're looking at showers ending this evening. Still going to be cloudy and windy. Overnight low about 50 degrees. Winds will diminish somewhat after midnight. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy, not as windy. A high of 67. Sunshine Wednesday, Thursday, low to mid-70s. And right now, Eveleth, cloudy 59. Rochester, cloudy 59. Outside of Topper's Homestyle Restaurant in Fergus Falls, cloudy 59 here in the Twin Cities. Showers in 58.
You know, I've had a lot of mail.
Yes.
My departure. Excuse me, I've got a green one, but I think in this last week I won't cough it up on the air because the cough button hasn't been working ever since the engineers stopped working this show, you know.
They just figured, why bother fixing it?
I'm just going to have some dead air here.
Okay, good.
So, I've been getting some letters, Lunch, and a lot of them mentioned that they liked hearing over the years about my family.
Yeah?
And they mentioned my mother, Mary, and Grandma Helen, my mother-in-law, my kids, and...
Yes.
And my wife, Thumper, but... I didn't do a lot of talking about my father. I called him the old man when I did, and I did that affectionately, you know. And I started thinking about this because people didn't mention my father. Once in a while, they'd say, and you talked about your old man, because I did talk more. My mother was... We had a matriarchal society in my family. She ran things, but my dad liked it, you know.
Yes.
But when things were on the line and my brothers Donald and Harold and myself were acting up, that's when the old man, and acting up towards my mother in an unfavorable way is when he took over. And he lost that guise of being laid back. But he was a shy man. He would have been... Let's see, he's born in 01, this is 97, he would have been 96.
96 years old.
Yeah, June 10th. And you know something, he might have lived that long if he didn't have a bad heart valve, which they think he got When he was a youth, he probably had rheumatic fever or scarlet fever. They didn't know about those things in those days.
Yeah.
And then they hadn't invented... nowadays, I guess they have medicine that you can take to help those. Or for a while, they did pig's valves, remember? They put them in. But my dad was in bad shape by the time he was 80, and they just couldn't do it. But I was thinking about how kind he was. And in 1965, when I was working on the Boulevard of Broken Hearts... I kind of cracked up for about a week. I was pushing myself, working mornings 6 to 9. I was running around at night. I was smoking. I was drinking. I was doing a lot of work on television, recording a lot of commercials during the day.
Burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I got off of work one morning. I had to be downtown by 9:30. I got off the air at the Boulevard of Broken Hearts. Got in my car, and it was one of those sleet days in March where you had to pound on the windshield to get the ice off.
Right.
I didn't have time, so I just scraped a little of it, and I had my head out the window, actually. Then I put it back in as the defroster started to work. So the freeway wasn't in I-94 at that time, so I was going down Franklin Avenue to go downtown to cut these commercials. And I got onto Franklin, and all of a sudden I started feeling funny. And I got these pains in my chest. Ooh. And I'm a young guy. I'm like 36 years old, you know.
You're thinking the big one.
I'm thinking, what is this? I'm getting a heart attack, and I started getting breathless. And I stick my head out the window. That helped a little bit. But I just couldn't catch my breath, and the pains were getting worse. So I stopped at a gas station on Franklin Avenue.
Yeah.
And I got out of the gas station, and I kind of hurried myself in there, almost bent over. And the attendant said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "I don't feel well. Do you mind if I just sit here a minute?" And he said, "Yeah, what's the problem?" I said, "I don't know. I got some pains in my chest, and I can't catch my breath." And I kept, like, passing out and then coming back, you know. So there was a cop on the corner. He brought him in here. The guy recognized me. I was on television a lot those days doing sports on Channel 5.
Yeah.
He said, "What's the problem, Steve?" I said, "I don't know, man. I just, I've got these chest pains, and I keep, like, passing out, losing my breath." So he called an ambulance, and they took me down to General Hospital.
Right.
And I'll never forget it. Cold day, and it was an old ambulance, and I'm lying there and wondering, what is happening? So I said to these two interns, I said, "Tell me something. Am I dying?" And they said, "Well, I don't think so, but we can't determine that until we get you down to the hospital." I said, "I really feel bad."
Comforting thought.
Yeah. So anyhow, they took me into the hospital there, and they ran these tests the next day. They didn't do them right away, but they put me into where they watched me closely. You know, they monitored me every 15, 20 minutes. They took my blood pressure and everything.
Kind of let you stabilize a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And I'll never forget. In the middle of the night, this nurse came in to take my my pulse and the rest of it, you know.
Right. The vitals.
Yeah. And there was a lot of moaning and groaning. They were so crowded. I wasn't in a private room. There were all sorts of elderly men in that room.
Yes.
With me. Huge room. And people were moving in and out throughout the night. I asked her, "What's going on with all these guys in here, these nurses and these, and the doctors and the interns?" And then I hear all this monkey business and the gurneys being rolled out. She says, "Well, sir, those people have just died."
Ooh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. I said, "Thank you very much for that information."
Well, you asked.
And I started hyperventilating again.
Oh, this is how it's going to end.
Yeah. Well, all night long, I could hear the groans and moans.
Oh,
it didn't do me any good.
No.
Well, in any event, the next day they did the test, and my family doctor came over, John Middlebrook. I says, "Give me the news." He said, "You're okay. There's nothing wrong with you." And he said, "You were hyperventilating. You got frightened. You had those probably gas pains." And he said, "You're obviously nerved out." He said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Just move me off of this ward, okay? There's people dying around me. So I'm going to send you over to St. Mary's, and you'll rest up." He says, "You need some rest. You've been burning the candle at both ends." So I was there a week.
Yeah.
I'm just fine, right?
Right.
And no hyperventilating, no getting the pains. So my wife comes over, and I get in the car. I had a little Morris Minor at that time, which looks like a Volkswagen Beetle.
Right.
Get in the car, and we drive about 5 miles to my palatial estate. And I get within a block of our place, and my wife says, "Look at all the neighbors. They're out there to greet you."
Mm.
And I took a look at the neighbors from a block away, and there was quite a crowd of them, you know, 10, 15 people.
The welcoming back committee,
yeah.
Yes.
And guess what?
Yes?
I started hyperventilating. Again.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. I drove up in front of the house, and I told her, "I'm reedy. I'm starting it again. I'm getting the pains." and I'm hyperventilating, and I don't want these people to know it. She said, I'll just tell them you're just not feeling well, and you don't have to say anything. So I just came in, I nodded, smiled to everybody, kind of walked in, laid down on the couch. It stopped.
Just like that.
Yeah. But I wanted to get, so what happened was I stayed home for a week, and then I went back to work, and she drove me to work. And the first day I got on the air, my engineer was Willie Hartho, a great guy, over there on the Boulevard of Broken Hearts. I get on at 6 o'clock, and I say to Willie, I may start hyperventilating again. I know there's nothing wrong with me, but I was psyched out.
Right.
He says, I'm with you, baby. And I says, if I get real bad, I said, just play a commercial. And we had a lot of them, just like I've got here. So anyhow, we start the show at 6:05 with the dogs going off. I know I've had those dogs for 37 years, and I get into the first commercial, and I start hyperventilating.
Oh, no, right away.
I hyperventilated for the first hour and a half, but I hit it. I'd start playing. I'd sing, Willie'd play a tune, he'd play a commercial, but you know, by the end, the last hour is on 6 to 9, it stopped, and it was over.
Hmm. You were kind of reoculating.
I don't know what happened, but I got out of it. But I was getting back to my father. He came up to the hospital when I was over there at General. And, that would be the second day.
Right.
I didn't look too good. And I look up, and he's just standing in the doorway looking at me with the most soulful look on his face. It brings tears to my eyes right now.
Yes.
He felt so bad for me. The man at that time was 63 years old. I was 36 or whatever. And he's probably thinking he should be there, you know?
Oh, it's tough seeing your kid like that.
Yeah. And I really looked awful. You know, I was pale.
Right.
And he wondered what was the trouble. And I just told him, and he just kind of shook his head, and he had to go to work. He said, I know you're going to be okay, Bon. I said, all right, Dad. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something, Mike, that is a radio announcer's disease from back about that time. Because when I was in the hospital, at that time I belonged to the Twin Cities Sportscasters Association. They had a meeting the day I went into General Hospital, and I thought I had a heart attack, and I was hyperventilating, right?
Right, right.
Don Dahl, who was a great sportscaster on Channel 4.
Oh, I remember him. He did Bowling for Dollars for a while.
He did, and exactly. Yeah. Well, they had that meeting that night, and they were that day, at lunch, and I wasn't there, and they said, where's Cannon? And they said, did you hear about it? They took him into General Hospital. He had a heart attack. Don Dahl then started hyperventilating about 20 minutes later. He got the chest pains. They called the rescue unit, and they took him to the hospital. He got the same thing I had.
Wow.
It's an announcer's disease. I'm not kidding you. And a good friend of mine, Jim Lang, who used to do the dating game.
Sure.
When the dating game was over, and he was out of work, and he was going around auditioning, he told me he was over on Wilshire Boulevard. He auditioned at a symphony station, a radio station. He said he couldn't get out of the car. He started hyperventilating.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Form of anxiety.
It is, absolutely.
Manifestation of anxiety.
Right.
Yeah.
It was not a good time. Well, I didn't mean to depress anybody. I'm still now coming back. I'm the Iron Man from the Iron Range.
You going
to
get some of your bad habits back?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm not going to start hyperventilating.
Martinis?
You're
going to do the martinis again?
The cigarettes, the whole
cigarettes?
Thing. Oh, yeah. Stay out all night.
Steaks every night?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, go to Red Owl.
Ooh.
Oh, no more Red Owl.
No.
Well, we'll go over to G's over there on Hennepin Avenue and pick up the T-bone steaks. I'll have those every day just
lots
like the
fat.
Old days. Lots of fat. Get that cholesterol up. That's what I'm going to do now.
Oh,
I'm going to relax.
Oh, sure.
Let's do this.
It's time to start your fall decorating in all four walls. The Wallpaper and Border Superstore in St. Paul has over 4,000 patterns in stock ready to go. All four walls, just dial wallpaper.
There's a little company in Montana that makes some of the most comfortable shoes a man can find. It's called H.S. Trask. Let me tell you about them. You'll feel the difference the second you put them on. They're comfortable right out of the box. It all starts with their soft, mellow leathers. Bison, elk, and longhorn. Then they add extra features, things you don't usually find in shoes anymore. Seems like every day people from all over the place are sending letters thanking H.S. Trask. Here's one from a stockbroker in Minnesota. Says, I've tried the big name brands, but now all I wear is H.S. Trask. Another fella from Seattle says, these are the most comfortable shoes I've ever owned. You see, H.S. Trask doesn't cut corners, and people appreciate that. Plus, they still make shoes right here in America. So whether you want shoes for work, walking around town, or for playing on the weekend, you ought to try a pair. H.S. Trask. Old shoe comfort right from the start. You'll find them at Nordstrom, Mall of America, Bloomington.
U.S. West Home Office, may I help you?
Yes, I'm a professional organizer and I work out of my house. Basically, I spend my days keeping my clients organized so they don't have to.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm so busy keeping everyone organized. My own telephone system has gotten to be a mess. Any ideas how I can keep it organized?
We can set that up for you with the business receptionist phone. It integrates some of our calling features, so it juggles calls, takes messages, and identifies callers even when you're already on your phone. And it's all in one unit.
Great.
And from now on, you can call me personally here at the U.S. West Home Office Consulting Center with any questions you might have about telecommunications.
Neat.
Call the U.S. West Home Office Consulting Center at 1-800-898-WORK for solutions that fit your growing business. And if you call now, you'll receive Business Success at Home, a free magazine full of tips for managing a prosperous business. So call 1-800-898-WORK, because here, no question leaves without an answer. U.S. West. Life's better here. Some restrictions apply.
.26 Cannon, 60 degrees. Here's Dean Spratt.
And still a good deal of heavy traffic, 280 northbound around Broadway. They're working to clear that crash. Now one as you move from Minneapolis over toward the Midway. This one eastbound 94 in the area of Riverside Avenue. State Patrol should be arriving in the area there shortly. Earlier, heavy traffic reported for 35E leaving downtown St. Paul, headed north. Still heavy up around the area of Pennsylvania Avenue, so be expecting that. That is your look at WCCO traffic.
And this is the Cannon Mess, CCO.
Hi, this is Bob Newhart.
And Judd Hirsch.
Don't miss our new series, George and Leo.
It'll rock your world, just how I would have put it.
Tonight, the address is CBS.
The Dow Jones is up 69. Let's get the details here on Cannon.
It would appear Wall Street investors feel the economy has room to grow at a nice, moderate pace with little concern about inflation and therefore little risk of a rate hike at tomorrow's Fed Policy Committee meeting. Dow Jones Industrials jumped 69 points today to 79.91. NASDAQ was up 12 and 3 quarters. S&P added 8. 30-year Treasury bond fell a quarter point to yield up to 6.38%. And December gold rose $1.40 to $330.40 an ounce. November crude oil was up 39 cents to $21.25 a barrel. Among stocks gaining ground today, shares of several retail brokerage firms, including Payne Weber, hit new highs on optimism over the Travelers Solomon merger. Payne Weber was up 2.5. Unisys shares climbed 1.875 today on continued enthusiasm for last week's appointment of a new CEO. Again, the Dow Jones Industrials were up 69 points to 79.91.
Cannon Mess. Sports tonight, we've got football. Morgan Mundane, whom do you like? Carolina or San Francisco?
Still haven't made up my mind. Carolina has done it to San Francisco, I think, 3 out of the last 4 games that this clubs have played. But San Francisco's been having some great luck with Steve Young back in control now. His concussions are better. They're protecting him better. They've adjusted to the loss of Jerry Rice. They've beaten a couple of lesser teams. Like the Rams in Atlanta, but I just don't know right now.
Okay, so we'll have football tonight. Carolina at home to the San Francisco 49ers at 8 o'clock. Prior to that, Dark Star. Let's do this. Cannon Mess, CCO.
U.S. West Small Business Group, can I help you?
Hi, I own an accounting firm, and I heard about this terrific offer where I can save a lot of money upgrading my office phone services.
Yes, if you sign up for an additional U.S. West business line and other qualifying phone services, you'll receive at least $2,250 off your U.S. West phone bill.
That's a good number.
And you'll get $240 worth of free business building software from the My Software Company.
Another nice number.
Of course, with an additional U.S. West business line, you can handle more calls or dedicate a line for your fax or computer. And with other U.S. West services, your customers can leave messages when you're on the phone. Plus, you can screen, prioritize, and even redirect your calls.
That really adds up. At least $2,250 off my U.S. West phone bill, plus $240 worth of free business building software. I'm in.
Sure, we can set that up for you. If you have time right now, we can...
Call the U.S. West Small Business Group at 1-800-603-6000. Small business solutions available through U.S. West packages. Some services not available in all areas. Some restrictions apply. Software offer good through October 31st, 1997. U.S. West. Life's better here.
Steve Elams says in a letter here, Cannon, I thought I'd write and let you know that as of October 3rd, I'll be selling all my stocks, cashing in my IRAs, and selling all I own. The reason that you're leaving CCO, Cannon, I just know that either hell just froze over or the end of the world is coming.
Roger Erickson here reminding you that the Boone and Erickson Saturday show starts at 6, lasts until 10. And the worst jokes of the week will be weaker than ever. Boone and Erickson, 6 to 10, Saturdays on WCCO Radio.